As we have already said, it is so good to be home, good to be back behind this pulpit once again. Although we did have a very productive gospel meeting in Livingston, Tennessee, there was a man that was baptized while we were there and a couple good Bible studies set up in that area, and we're just thankful for the good work that congregation is doing. I ask you to pray for the Holly Springs Church of Christ, and I told them that I would send you their greetings as I carried our greetings to them when we went there. It's a very good meeting, and I tell you something, the church is really growing in that area, and it's just so encouraging to be able to be there with our family and be able to renew acquaintances, and just had a great, great time, and we're thankful for the opportunity you gave me to be gone last week and to be there with them, and just want to let you know that we appreciate that. I appreciate Mike preaching in the morning, and Richard, Snow White and the Seven Deadly Sins. I can't wait to get that CD and listen to that sermon myself. It is just such a good feeling to know that when you're gone, that the gospel does not stop being preached from this pulpit. And we've got so many capable men here. Just grateful for that. I'm sorry that we missed Eric and Paige's baby shower last week. I heard everything went really well, and heard that it was a good time, and we're thankful for that. Along that note, I was handed a note this morning that some of our young people really helped a lot in preparing and decorating and getting ready for that shower. Carrie Stone, Lexi Kane, and Sarah McCammon. The note says that they helped and worked hard, did an outstanding job in getting ready for the baby shower. So we wanted to point them out and let them know that we thank them for their good work. Today, as we know, is Father's Day. And if you looked in your bulletin, you saw the title for the sermon today, A Daddy and His Daughters. All of my daughters are gone today, so I can get away with preaching a sermon like this. They are up in Indiana. I wish they were here with us today for Father's Day, but I know that they are glad to be with my mom and dad and Mindy's mom and dad later in the week. I want us to turn to Acts chapter 21 as we think about the start of this sermon. A Daddy and His Daughters. Maybe you're wondering where we're going to go with this lesson today. I think it'll become more clear when we see the two verses that we're going to start with this morning as we prepare to introduce this topic. Acts 21, we're going to start with verses 8 and 9. And it seems that these two verses are almost just in passing, but let's notice this. On the next day, we who were with Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea and entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. When Luke made a record of his visit to Caesarea with Paul and the rest of his companions, he recorded it in this way. We stayed with Philip the evangelist, we stayed with him in his home, and this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Now, as we've said, this almost seems to just be a passing reference. As he was talking about some of the other great things that happened in that area, it almost just seems in passing that he tells us that he stayed with Philip in his home and that this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. But surely there has to be a reason, if you believe like I believe, that every word of the Bible is there for a reason. The Holy Spirit put everything in there he wanted to be there and left everything out that he didn't think that we needed. I believe there has to be then a reason why these verses are there. And it tells us that they stayed in this home and that this man had four daughters who were virgins and they also prophesied. And in this, we get an insight into this man's home. And boy, what an insight we get by just these two verses, almost in casual glancing as we read through there. We know something about Philip from previous accounts in the book of Acts. If you look in Acts chapter 6, we won't turn there yet. We'll turn there here in just a little bit. But Acts chapter 6, we notice that he was one of the seven that was chosen, that was chosen to be in a special work in the church in that area. Then the next chapter, or two chapters later, Acts chapter 8, we also see that he was the evangelist that was scattered into Samaria and preached the gospel to those people that were there. And later on, the Ethiopian eunuch, we see that he was involved in teaching this man as well. And so we get an insight into the type of man that he was. But now, as we come all the way to beginning the conclusion of the book of Acts, we get another insight into this man, but rather than just this man alone, we get an insight into this man's wonderful, beautiful home. And that's what I want us to look at this Father's Day, is into the home of this wonderful father who was named Philip. First of all, I want us to notice that as we get a look into his home, we see a home where responsibility is accepted. Men, this is a challenge to each of us. If we want to be the type of father that Philip was, and hopefully at the conclusion of the sermon you'll conclude that you want to be, first of all, we need to notice that his was a home where responsibility was accepted. Now, there are certain things by looking into this home that we know would be present. We can just deduce it in our own minds. Logic follows that these things had to be present. Number one, responsibility would be an accepted matter. There would be no question in our minds that when we look into this home, that this was a home of responsibility. And we conclude what we know about this home from the father who was in this home, and that is Philip. Philip was a man who took responsibility very, very seriously. And I suggest to you that he passed this on to his daughters, a daddy and his daughters. It all starts with the father in the home, and this father was a man who accepted responsibility. Okay, mark Acts chapter 21, and let's turn back to Acts chapter 6, as I said that we would. Acts chapter 6, and let us first see where we get an inkling that this man was a man of responsibility. Acts chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 3. We're going to see that this man took a responsibility that not everybody would want to take. As a responsibility, it would be a difficult responsibility. Let's start with verse 1 in Acts chapter 6. Now, in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. First of all, we see there's a complaint. There's a problem within the church in this area. And there's a complaint, and the complaint is often because some of the widows were being neglected. Then the 12 summoned the multitude, the disciples, and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." Here's verse 3. "Therefore, brethren, seek ye out from among you 7 men." Now, remember, Philip is one of these men, but notice some of these things. They must be of good reputation. They must be full of the Holy Spirit, and they must be full of wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Verse 4, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." Now, we want to read just part of verse 5, which tells us that Philip was one of them. "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, and Philip." Now, verse 6, "whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them." And then verse 7, the very first phrase, "then the word of God spread." I think it's important that we see that. The apostles didn't want to take time from preaching the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to do some of these other things that other men could do. And so they chose 7 men full of good report, full of the Holy Spirit, and full of wisdom. And I want us to notice that Philip was one of those men. Not only was he one of the men chosen, but listen, he was one of the men who accepted the responsibility. That's important to see. This was not an easy job to keep women happy. Yeah, that's what his challenge would be. These people were being neglected. The women were feeling neglected, some of these widows. And so we need some people to make sure they're taken care of. Philip was one of them. And buddy, he accepted that responsibility, and no doubt he excelled in doing that, because watch the desired effect. Verse 7, "then the word of God spread." The church grew, you see, because here was a man who did everything he could to help rectify a problem in the church. What a good man already. But let's go a little bit further. In Acts chapter 8, he and others had been scattered from Jerusalem. And remember why. Remember Saul of Tarsus? This will be important for later on in the sermon, so make a note. Saul of Tarsus made havoc of the church. He hauled and put men and women who were Christians in prison, snatching them from their children, and took them and put them in prison only because they were Christians. Remember, Saul also was one of the ones who held the coats of those who stoned Stephen. No doubt, enemy number one among Christians was Saul of Tarsus. Remember that, because we're going to see that see something important about that later on. And so here was this man, Stephen, all right? He's now scattered from Jerusalem so he wouldn't be killed, so he wouldn't be put in Jerusalem. He and the rest of the church had to scatter. They had to go other places. Now, watch what takes place here after this. And men, I want us to notice something very important here. Philip didn't think because he was away from home that his responsibility stopped. Now watch this. He didn't think that just simply because he was scattered, he had to leave his home, that his responsibility stopped at the gates of Jerusalem. Acts chapter 8, read with me verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Now, here's our Philip, the next verse, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and took a vacation. Because he could not preach in Jerusalem, his home, he just sat there and waited for the persecution to stop. Is that what it says? Watch it again, verse 5. He went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. What a man. What a man. Here I am. Hey, my only job is to make sure the women stay happy, the widows stay happy. That's what I was appointed to do. Nothing more, nothing less. Preaching's not my job. Spreading the gospel's not my job. I've been given a responsibility, that of the Holy Spirit, and that by the apostles. That's my job. So I've just got to watch the widows here in Jerusalem. Is that what happened? No. When he was scattered, he went to Samaria and he preached the gospel to them. Isn't that beautiful? Man, I want to ask you something. When you go on vacation, do you take your family to the worship services of the church on Sunday morning? Or do you think just because you're out of town, your responsibility to the Lord has stopped? What do you think Philip would do? You think he'd go to the worship services of the church when he was traveling other places? I know that he would. When's the last time, think about this, that you took the opportunity, hey, we've got a week's vacation, maybe we can go to this other area and we can teach a few people while we're there. Has that ever been our thinking process? Philip was a man who was away from home, and so what did he do? He made the best of a situation he was in, and he preached the gospel. I love the responsibility this man takes. Drop on down to verse 26. He was able to preach to multitudes, but watch this, Acts 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes from down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. That's what the angel of the Lord told him to do. Watch verse 27. So he arose and went. God tells you to do something. It's not, should I do it? He arose and went. The angel of the Lord tells him, so he arises and he goes. Now here is a man who would do what he was told to do because he understood the opportunity of responsibility. He would and could accept responsibility. You like this man as a father? Let me tell you something, men. The day our child is born, we have one of the biggest responsibilities we will ever have in our lives. And that is to bring those children up in the Lord. Now, I want you to think about this. Of the opportunity and responsibility, fathers, we have with our children. Nobody, not the elders of this congregation, not the preacher of this congregation, not the deacons of the congregation, nobody can ever have the effect on my children that I as their father can. And don't you know that when Philip's daughters saw their daddy doing these things, that it had to make an impact on their lives? We're going to see that it did. So number one, it was a place, his home was a place where responsibility was expected. Number two, his home was a place where dependability would be expected. Responsibility was accepted. He did it. If he could do it, he did it. Responsibility was accepted and dependability was going to be expected. We've already seen where Philip was selected as one of those to serve tables. Only those who would be dependable, who could be counted on, would be asked to do such thing. The Holy Spirit, let alone, of course, the apostles, they wouldn't ask one of these men to do something unless they knew that they could depend upon these men. But there's also more proof of his dependability. In Acts chapter 8 again, let's go back there. He would go to Samaria and he would preach the gospel in spite of difficulties. Remember that Stephen had just been stoned to death, yet in spite of all of this, he goes and preaches the gospel. But not only was he dependable in spite of difficulties, but he was also dependable in spite of location, as we've already seen. I love in Acts chapter 8 where he tells him to go, verse 26, Acts 8:26, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And then it says this, this is desert. How many multitudes do you think you're going to find in a deserted area, in a desert region? You're not going to find multitudes, are you? It doesn't sound like the place to go and hold a tent meeting. But what does he do? Verse 27, of course, we've already seen he arises and he goes. Now watch this. And behold, verse 27, a man, not thousands of men like Jesus preached to and fed the 5,000, but a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, had come up to Jerusalem. So he goes into the desert and he finds one man. Well, it's only one man. If I can't preach to 1,000, I'm not going to preach to any. If I can't preach to 500, I'm not going to preach to any. If I can't even preach to 100 measly souls, I'm not going to preach to any. Was that his attitude? You know, sometimes it cracks me up the way sometimes even Christians think. I've heard things, well, one of these days, Mark, you're going to get yourself a big church. You're gonna step up the range of people, and one of these days you might be good enough to get you a big church. And that's how people sometimes think. Tell you what, that's an ungodly way to think. What did Philip do? If he had one person to preach to, he preached to him. If he had 50 people to preach to, he would have preached to him. And so he finds this one man and he preaches the gospel of Christ to him. Now there wasn't a large crowd there. Now, there wasn't 3,000 obeyed the gospel that day, but you know what? There was one. And I love Philip for many reasons, one of which is because he wasn't looking for multitudes to be praised by. He was looking for individuals to teach them the saving gospel of Christ. And that's what he does. Why? Because he is a dependable person. Let me tell you something. If I'm that one soul and you teach me the gospel, I'm going to love you forever. We need to be reminded of the value of one soul. What is the value? If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, it profits him nothing. The value of one soul. But third and finally, his was a home where responsibility would be accepted. It was a place where dependability would be expected. And number three, it was a home where spirituality was reflected. Let's go back to his home in Caesarea, Acts chapter 21. I want us, first of all, under this last point, to see the first subpoint, and that is, his home was a home of hospitality. His home was a home of hospitality. Acts 21, verses 8 and 9. The next day, we who were Paul's companions departed and came to Caesarea, entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. Now watch verse 10. And we stayed many days. Many days. What's the saying? Fish and relatives stink after 3 days. Is that the phrase? Or maybe it's fish and just visitors. I don't know. But fish and something stink after 3 days. And I think it's any guest in your house. Boy, Philip didn't think like that, did he? He let them stay many days. Why? Hey, as long as you need to be here to do what you need to do, you stay in my home. No questions about it. This was a man who had a responsibility. This was a man who was dependable. And this is a man who was hospitable. We tarried there many days. He is a supporter of spiritual teaching. He's going to do whatever it takes to make sure it's carried out. But you know, I want you to think especially about one person that was stayed in his home many days. I told you we'd come back to this. You go back to that verse 8. We who were Paul's companions stayed there many days. Whose companions? Paul. Now, Paul is his good name. That's the one we like. That's the one we like to think about. Paul, the preacher, the apostle, the great Christian man. But what was his former name? Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus. Here was a man who loved to see Christians killed. Who are one of the Christians that Paul loved to see killed? Stephen. No doubt Philip knew Stephen. No doubt Philip loved Stephen. And no doubt he knew the role Saul of Tarsus played in the killing of Stephen. Yet what does he do? Paul, you stay in my home as long as you need to stay. I don't see any bitterness there, do you? I don't see any hatred. I see love. And I see forgiveness. What a man this person was. Wouldn't you be tempted? Listen, everybody can stay here, but Paul, you'll need to stay someplace else. It's not what he says. You stay as long as you need to stay. So his was a home of hospitality. Number two under this last point, it was a place of purity. Fathers, I want us to think about this. His was a home of purity. How do we know this? Again, why does the Bible tell us things? I really, truly believe that when we look at the Bible and study the Bible, okay, God, why did you tell me everything in this passage? It will open our eyes into wonderful, in-depth study. He had four daughters. Wouldn't that have sufficed? But that's not what the Bible says. He had four virgin daughters. Now, why in the world would the Bible tell us that? Could be several reasons, but don't you think that one of them has to be so we can know that this home is a place of purity? They stayed in Philip's home. What about his four daughters? They were all virgins. I think that says something about this home, don't you? Now, you may be thinking, well, Mark, they didn't have to live in the days we live in, where everybody's expected to have sex outside of marriage. You know, sometimes we forget that things have always been this bad. And sometimes we don't think that. But did you know that as part of the pagan worship that was prevalent of that day, sexual activity outside of marriage was part of their worship to their false gods? Did you know that? And that at any given time at the temple that was in Corinth, historians tell us that 1,000 prostitutes were on duty at any given time at the temple. That's where they went to church. And this is the place where his daughters were being reared. But what about them? They stayed pure. And fathers, I tell you something, we have a lot to do about this, and we have a lot to say about it. Philip's daughters were all pure. They would still maintain their purity, although and even though they lived in a place filled with fornication and adultery. You know what? You could have just as easily have said during his time, everybody's doing it, just as easily as you could say it today. And sometimes parents just thought, well, you know, kids will be kids. That's just a sign of the times. Everybody's doing it. Nothing I can do about it. Baloney. I'm glad Philip didn't have that attitude. Daughters, this is what I expect of you. And as long as you're in my home, this is how it's going to be. Why? You will thank me for it later. Men, fathers, we need to have a home where purity is expected to be maintained. And not just our daughters, but also our sons. And last, under this last point, his was a home of hospitality, it was a place of purity, and it was a sanctuary of sanctity. I had to work a little bit harder for that S. A sanctuary of sanctity. What else does this tell us about his daughters? They were wonderful women. Not only did they remain pure in an impure world, but they also prophesied. He had four daughters who prophesied. Now, I understand, according to 1 Timothy 2:11, they were going to be limited at some times where they could prophesy. They would not be able to prophesy where men were present and things like this because of what was taking place in the New Testament. So they were limited in their prophecy, but they were able to prophesy. His daughters were able to prophesy. Don't you think that says something about their character, their Christianity, their faithfulness to the Lord? God gave them this special gift because they were special daughters. They were special people. And I suggest to you that it started with their dad. Fathers, of all that our children can be, of all that our children can be, the best thing that we can ever help them is to be faithful to the Lord. Above every other single thing, to be faithful to the Lord. My girls can go to heaven without being good at sports. My girls can go to heaven without ever going to the first cheerleader camp. My girls can go to heaven by getting all C's like their daddy did. My girls can go to heaven without all the extracurricular activities. But let me tell you something. They cannot go to heaven without Christ. Fathers, is Christ the center of your home? I think you'll all agree that as we have now studied the life of Philip, that all of us could say Christ was in that home. And fathers, I think the best thing we can strive to do on this Father's Day is to make sure he's the center of ours. Because if he's not, yes, your wife may go to heaven anyway. Your children may end up going to heaven anyway. Even if you do not make sure that Christ is the center of your home, they might eventually go to heaven anyway. But you know what? And this is sad. It will be in spite of you rather than because of you. I want my girls in heaven because I helped lay a foundation for them that they'll carry on when they leave my home. That's the greatest gift we can give our children on this Father's Day. And so we ask this question to all, not just fathers now. Is Christ the center, number one, of your life? He cannot be the center of your home until he's the center of your life. Number two, then, if he is the center of your life, are you making sure that he is the center of your home? You might need to make correction in your life. You might need to make correction in your home. We hope that you'll do that today. If you want to be baptized to have your sins washed away, we'll do that today. Or if you need the prayers of this church, we'll definitely do that for you as well. Or maybe you just need to go home and sit down with your family and say, listen, I failed in many ways. Christ has not been the center of this home, but starting today, I'm going to work to make sure he is. We hope that you'll do that while together we stand and sing this song.